And amen. It is good to be here this morning. I'm excited. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 9. What a wonderful day. Thank you so much for the invitation to come. I always enjoy coming to New Life. The kindness, the hospitality, the baskets. The baskets here are so good, even the hotel people want to get in them. And it's just wonderful to come, and your kind words and your celebratory spirit every time I come is to be commended. And I'm just glad to be around all of you. It's good to be with Brother Sutton, his family, such pursuit of excellence in every one of their lives. And I just like being with them, like hanging out with them. And it's just good to be here today. Hallelujah. Amen. I've been partying all weekend. My sister got married Friday, and we had a big shindig. Amen. If you've ever been to a redneck wedding, there's nothing quite like them. Amen. And we had a good time. Hallelujah. I like living for God. If you can't be happy living for God, you probably can't be happy. The Bible tells us, and we love it, and it's Pentecostals, oh, clap your hands, all you people. But that's only in the Bible a couple of times. But the word rejoice is in there over 60 times. And the word rejoice means be happy. Act happy, be happy, do happy. Hallelujah. And I want to be happy living for God. How about you? Amen. If you have your Bibles, go again with me. We're going to preach in the Holy Ghost here this morning. I believe God's going to help us. If he don't help us, we're going to just dig through the Word of God, and then we'll go eat. But if he helps us, amen, anything is possible here today. 2 Samuel 9 and 1, and David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." The king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold, thy servant." And he bowed. David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." Amen. I want to preach this morning, the help of the Holy Ghost, about lame in the king's house. Lame in the king's house. Let's ask the Holy Ghost to help us today. God, we trust you. God, we lean upon the Holy Ghost this morning. I believe in the power of preaching, and I believe you're going to help us here today. God, I ask you that the word of God would bring power and conviction and touch and healing. Draw us here this morning, I pray. Every one of us in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. This story is and has always been one of the most intriguing things in the life of David that I have studied. I've read it many times, and I've studied it many times, and to my knowledge, I have never preached it. But for the last few weeks, I have been reading and studying, and I feel it's the Holy Ghost that has led me there, that to this story, this intriguing, curious story about the son of Jonathan, Mephibosheth. What a name. Maybe the reason I've never preached it is because of his name. Amen. If he was named Bill or George, I probably would have already preached it. But Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan. And the story is that he was 5 years old the day that his father and his grandfather Saul went to battle at Jezreel. And we know the story. They both died there and were publicly humiliated, and their bodies were paraded. And it was not a pleasant day. And in the upheaval of all of this happening, the maiden, the one that was watching over those children, when she heard the tidings that Saul and Jonathan were dead, the Bible said that his nurse took him up. He's 5 years old, and in her haste to run from whatever judgment she thought was coming, maybe she thought because that Saul and Jonathan were dead that everything was going to cave in, and it was going to become here and free, and everybody take what you will. And so the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 4 that when this nurse heard the tidings that Saul and Jonathan were dead, she took this little boy and she made haste, the Bible says. And as she was running, he fell. And obviously, maybe we take a little bit on ourselves to think this way, but obviously from that instance, that event, he fell in fleeing with his nurse. The Bible says he was lame from that day forward. He was lame in both of his feet. Probably he broke his ankle or broke his legs as he was fleeing with this nurse. Such a terrible tragedy that the Bible tells us happened that day. And he became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. The Bible forgets him, if you will, at that point. I don't know why the Bible chose. I believe I'm going to preach it out here this morning, but it's almost like the Bible is telling the story. In fact, when this story in 2 Samuel chapter 4 is told, it is not, doesn't even seemingly have anything to do with the story that's being told. Chapter 4 is about the murder of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and it doesn't have anything to do with Mephibosheth. He's just there. But the Bible chooses to tell us the story of a 5-year-old little boy that at the mention of Saul and Jonathan's death, this moment that life caved in around him, that he became lame in both his feet. He was the king's grandson. He had enjoyed a life of happiness. He had enjoyed a life, no doubt, of pleasure and of expense and of goodness. But now, amen, I want you to understand here this morning in what I'm preaching, that he was not born lame. Life made him lame. I'm preaching to some people today. I feel this in the Holy Ghost, deep in my spirit, that life has broken you, and life has left its mark on you. And I'm preaching to some people here today that can stand up, and your entire life goes back to one moment of terrible tragedy, and your life goes back to one moment of injustice, at one moment of awful reality, when life made you lame in both of your feet. From that 5-year-old moment, Mephibosheth went through life lame on both his feet, and every step he took was a reminder of the terrible day that life dealt him a blow that would forever alter the course of his existence. I'm preaching to some people today that you weren't born to be in the shape you're in, and you weren't born to be living the life you were living, but I'm telling you, life came along one day and made you
lame in both of your feet. Your life is altered. Your steps are slow. Your life is broken. I preach to some people today that could stand up and say, when God found me, I was broken. Life had cut me off. Life had left me laying helpless. Life had forgotten me. I preach to some people today that if we could stand and testify, each one of us would tell you that there was a moment in our lives when life cut us off, when life broke us down, and we were lame in both our feet. This crippled little boy grows up living a life of rejection, a life of being forgotten, fading into the shadows. He was the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul. Life came along by reasons not of his own choosing. He was a 5-year-old boy, Brother Sutton. He didn't have anything to do with Saul's way of life and Jonathan's way of life. But in this terrible instant, he's lame in both his feet. And he goes hobbling through life. And he never fulfills himself. And he never fulfills happiness. And he never finds peace. And he never finds joy. And he goes and disappears at someone else's house. He doesn't have the ability to have his own house, Brother Sutton. He's living off the goodness of some other man. He's living under the table of a man from Lodabar. We don't know where he's at. The Bible hardly speaks of where he was. It hardly tells of his condition. But he's living a life. He's being helped along by the goodness of someone else. And the Bible tells us that simply it forgets this little 5-year-old boy. And then 2 Samuel keeps going. And we see a new king on the throne. David by name. And the Bible tells us in chapter 8 that he begins to go out to war. He was victorious. He smote the Philistines. He smote the Moabites. He smote the Zoabites. He slew 10,000 chariots and 700 horsemen, 20,000 men of the men of the Zoabites. And the Bible said from that king Hadassah that he took the shields of gold that his army had, and he took exceeding great brass, the Bible says. And the Bible tells us in chapter 8 of 2 Samuel, if you read it, it's just like this litany. It's like the back of a baseball card about all the great victories that David won in 2 Samuel chapter 8. Time and time again, Brother Collins, David's going out to battle and he's smiting 20,000 men. He goes through the valley of Salt and he slays 18,000 people, and he brings back all of their goods, and he brings back all their gold, and he's piling it up. And the Bible said he had a bunch of gold, and he had a bunch of silver, and he had exceeding brass, and he had so many chariots that he didn't even need the ones from the Zoabites. But the Bible says that at the end of all of this victory, at the end of all of this power and possession, and David sitting on his throne, the Bible said he got himself a name. He's the king. He's sitting on his throne, counting his money, looking at all his blessings, looking at all the favor that God bestowed him. And here's where I want to preach today. The king was sitting in glory. The king was sitting in power. He had provision left over. He had gold running out of his ears. He had silver running out of his ears. And he's sitting on his throne, and he says, is there anybody of the house of Saul that I can be a blessing to? Is there anybody that I can show the goodness of God? David sitting on his throne. He's just pondering, if you will. I can see him sitting back. He's in victory. He's had all these victories. He's had all these possessing, powerful, epic victories where he's brought in all kinds of money and gold and silver. And he's just, everything's just piling up. And I can see it at this moment. He says, you know, I need somebody to give some of this stuff to. I need somebody to bless. I want to find somebody to come live with me and eat at my table. And he says, is there anybody? Is there yet any man that's left of the house of Saul? Saul's choices had brought judgment upon his life, brought judgment upon his house. Many of Saul's sons were killed. In fact, even David himself, several chapters later, kills seven of his sons to repay the Gibeonites. But David says, is there anybody left of the house of Saul that I could show kindness to? Somebody remembers that Saul's servant Ziba is still hanging around, so they bring him in. And David says, Ziba, is there anybody left of Saul's house? The Bible tells us later on in 2 Samuel that Saul's house was a bloody house. A house that had been filled with violence. A house that had been filled with terror. A house that had been filled with brokenness. A house that had been filled with all kinds of awful things. And out of this tragedy, and out of this mess, and out of this bloody house, Ziba says, there is yet a son. The son of Jonathan. And as you read that third verse in the ninth chapter, you will see that the word which is italicized. And it does not belong in the original. But the Bible says that as Ziba was standing before David, and David inquires, is there somebody that I can bless? Is there somebody that I can bestow goodness on? Is there somebody I can bring into my house and set them up and feed them and bless them and let them live under the protection of the king and under the provision of the king? Is there anybody that I can be a God to, that I can be a king to? I'm preaching to you today. I wonder how often that God sits on his throne and said, I wonder, is there anybody that I can show kindness to? I wonder, is there anybody lame in their feet that's hopelessly walking away from God, that God don't know anything about the goodness of God? Is there somebody I can show kindness to? And Ziba says, there is a son. His name is Mephibosheth. But the Bible says, before he even told him his name, he said, Jonathan has a son, lame in both his feet. He's not somebody you're going to want to have around, David. Handicaps in those days, I'm glad it's not the case anymore, but handicaps in those days was a slight, a judgment. They didn't hang around you. You didn't go to the temple. You didn't come into the house. You didn't stand up. They considered it the judgment of God. And Ziba says, there's a boy, yeah, but he's lame in both his feet. And the thinking is that David ain't gonna want this guy. He's lame. Life has broken him down. Life has hampered him. Life has hindered him. He don't want this guy. He's messed up. He's broken. His legs don't work right. He's been messed up in life. David's not going to want him. But David stands up and he blows Ziba's mind and he says, go get him. I want to know where he's at. Go find him. I don't care where he's at. I don't care what he's been doing. I don't care who he's living with. Go get him, fetch him, and bring him back to me. Bring him back to the king's house. And I can see in my little boy's mind as I read the Bible that when that little, my God have mercy, that lame boy comes walking into David's palace, both his feet are lame. Maybe somebody's holding him up on either side. Maybe he's got crutches or a walker, and he comes stumbling and hobbling before the king, and life has broken him down. Life has dealt him an unfeeling blow that crippled him in both his feet. And he stands before David, and surely he knows, I'm Saul's son. I'm Jonathan's son. I'm about to find judgment. I'm about to find the hand of the king wroth against me. But David said, I I want you to understand something, Mephibosheth. Your daddy was my friend. Your daddy was my buddy. He was good to me. And I'm going to tell you what, Mephibosheth, I know your feet don't work. I know life has broken you down, but I want you to live in my house. I want you to sit at my table. I want to feed you every meal. I want you to eat with me from now till you die. Mephibosheth, I know you're lame. I know life dealt you a blow, but I want you to live with me in my house. Woo. And that crippled little boy, he's a man now. He's no longer a boy. Looks up at this king. What do you want a lame man for? I'm lame and I'm not going to be able to help you. When you go out, I'm not going to be able to go out with you. I'm crippled. I'm lame. But David said, I don't care. I don't care what's happened before. I don't care what came down the road. I want you to live in my house. I want you to put your crippled feet under my table every time the table spread. I don't care how you get in here, Mephibosheth. If you have to ride in on a wheelchair, if you have to ride in on somebody's shoulders, I want you to put your feet under my table and taste of the goodness of God. I've come to preach to you that if you look back down our life, there's a lot of us that are lame in our feet. But I want to tell you something about the king's table. When I put my feet under his table, I'm no longer lame. But the Bible said, I become one of the king's sons. I'm going to sit and eat at the table. I may have been lame when I got here. I may have been broken when I got here. But I'm eating with the king, baby. Oh, somebody ought to shout this morning. Somebody ought to praise him today. I was lame when I got here. I was broken when I got here. But now I'm as one of the king's sons. And not only did David say, I want you to eat with me. Now you got to understand something. When David told him, I want you to eat at my table, Brother Reggie, that doesn't mean he just invited him for one time. That doesn't mean he said, hey, come over and eat with us. No. When he said, I want you to eat at my table, David was saying to Mephibosheth, I want you to live here. I want you to take your life's substance from my table. Don't worry about how you're going to eat anymore. It wasn't just an invite to eat. It was an invite to live under the king's roof. There's a room for you, Mephibosheth. Come on, somebody. I'm glad when God found me, he didn't just ask me to dinner, but he said, I want you to come to my house. I want you to put your feet under my table. I want you to live here. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you a new identity. I'm going to give you a new life. Come on, I'm preaching about giving the Holy Ghost. When I came in this place, I was lame in my feet. I was crippled. Life had broken me. But when I got in the king's house, when I got in the king's house, when I got baptized in the name of Jesus, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I sat down at the Father's table and I started eating from the bounties of heaven. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. I'm preaching to some people right now that life has lamed you. Life has broken you. You remember the moment when your feet were shattered. You remember the moment when your legs were shattered and you thought, I'll never be anything else. I'll never make it. But I'm telling you, there's a king crying out today. Go find somebody to sit at my table. Luke chapter 14, Jesus said, when you call a feast, don't call your buddies, don't call your neighbors, call the blind, call the maimed, call the Lord, the poor, and the the lame and bring them to my house. Bring them to the table. Put them under. In that same chapter, the master of the feast said, I got a feast prepared. I want to feed everybody. Go call these people. And he gave his servants a list, a guest list. Go invite them to come eat at my table. He goes. One of them said, you know, I've married a wife and I can't come. One of them said, I bought a field and I need to go check it out. The other one said, I bought some oxen and I need to go test drive them. Because they still had all their working faculties. And they still had all their working extremities. And they were still doing their own thing. And the master of the feast said, He came to his own, and his own received him not. And so he turned to that little boy, that little servant, and he said, you go out there and you find me some lame people. You go out there and you find me some maimed people. Some people that have been broken. Some people that life has maimed them. Find me some blind people. Find me some poor people and bring them to my house. That my house may be full. Put them under my table. And the Bible says when that servant went, he brought the lame. He brought the maimed. He brought the poor and the blind. And the king stood up and said, there's yet room at the table. There's still room for you. There's still room for you. I don't care if you're broken. I don't care if you're lame. I don't care if you're maimed. I don't care what life has brought you. There's still a place at the king's table. Hallelujah. Musicians, come. I'm getting ready to quit. Lame. Crippled. Life had broken him. I'm telling you today, we're living in a world where life is not kind. We're living in a world today where life maims people, Brother Sutton. Life breaks people to the point that they come in lame on both their feet. There's no such thing as good sinners anymore. If there ever was, everybody's life's broken, shattered, busted, pieces laying everywhere, crippled arms, crippled legs, crippled lives. The dregs of society, the throwaways. But I'm telling you that in the spirit of King David, there's a God sitting on a throne this morning at New Life saying, is there anybody out there that I can show kindness to? Is there anybody out there that I can show the goodness of God? You go look, boys. Go find me somebody. All we can find are lame people. All we can find are maimed people. Go fetch them and bring them to my house. And I'm going to let them slide their crippled feet under my table. And I'm going to put before them the goodness and the blessings of God. And not only am I going to, not only am I going to let the lame eat at my table, but Mephibosheth, all that life took from you, everything that pertained to the house of Saul, I'm going to restore it back to you. and I'm going to set Ziba over it. And he and his 15 sons and 20 servants are going to till your ground while you eat at my table. And you're going to live off of it. You go find me that lame boy, and I'm going to bring him back into my house, and I'm going to restore what life has taken. I don't care if he's lame. I don't care if he's poor. I don't care if he's blind, if he's maimed. You go tell him there's a place at my table. Stand with me this morning. The Holy Ghost has descended in this house. You look around, there's some of us got tears flowing out of our eyes because we remember the moment when we put our crippled feet under his table and we begin to taste of the goodness and the favor of God. Lame, but I'm in the King's house. Life broke me, but the King set me at his table and restored everything life had taken. I'm preaching to some people here today that your life is broken. You're lame in both your feet. But I've come on behalf of a King to tell you today, he wants you to come sit at his table. There's some things he wants to bestow to you. I'm not talking about some little punk king. I'm talking about a king with a list of victories. I'm talking about a king with a stack of gold and silver and brass exceeding that wants to bestow the blessing and the goodness of God upon the lame and the withered. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The Holy Ghost is moving. If you've got the Holy Ghost, I want you to talk in tongues right now. I know I haven't preached a long time, but I'm telling you right now that I stand here as a messenger from God, and I'm telling you, it's time to bring your crippled life to the King's table. But preacher, you don't understand. This happened and that happened. And oh, I know. You fell and you were lame from that day. But I'm telling you, the King's calling you. Bring your heart. Bring your withered. Bring the poor. Bring the blind. Bring the broken. And put them at my table. Come on, this altar's open. I wonder, is there anybody that wants to come sit at the King's table? I wonder, is there anybody that wants to bring your crippled life to the King's table? I want to sit at David's table continually. I'm lame in both my feet, but I'm going to sit down and I'm going to become as one of the King's sons. He's going to bestow on me goodness. He's going to bestow on me favor. I don't deserve it. I'm broken. I'm wounded. I'm maimed. But God's calling me. Come on in. The table is spread. Come on in the Father's house. There's a table spread where the saints of God are fed. Come on in. Come on in. All ye that are weary. All ye that are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. All ye that are broken. All ye that are lame. Come sit at my table. Is there anybody left in the house of Saul today? Come on, church, find somebody. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, come on, come on. I'm lame in both my feet, but I'm going to sit at the King's table. I'm lame on both legs, but I'm sitting at the King's table. Sing it, sister. Sister, like me, you should have seen me when he got me. I didn't find him, he found me. I want once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now,
sing it again.
I see. I was lame, I was crippled, I was maimed, but he brought me to his table. Neighbor, I say, let's go sit at the king's table. I know you're weary, I know you're wounded, I know you're maimed, but we're going to sit at the king's table. hands lifted, sing this song. I'm lame, but I'm in the Father's house. I'm lame, but I'm sitting at the King's table. How sweet.
How sweet.
God wants to do something special here today. There's a deep touch of the Holy Ghost. Both hands are lifted. Your spirit's open. God, I want what you've got for me today. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, Mephibosheth. Sit at the King's table. Sit at the King's table. Somebody, come on, the Holy Ghost is moving. Let him touch you today. Let him bless you today. Oh, yato shanda eda ba yakata. Marada maromo kashanda hoye. I'm lame, but God's calling me to his house.